The air in the Lasalle Mountains usually carries the scent of pine and high-altitude dust, a welcome reprieve from the baking heat of the Moab Valley below. On that Wednesday, in mid-August, however, the atmosphere felt heavy, weighted down by a silence that had stretched for 4 days too long. I stood near the edge of a shallow creek bed in the South Mesa area, where the rugged terrain slopes toward an irrigation ditch, watching the light flicker through the aspen leaves. The scene was picturesque until you looked at the ground, where the reality of a violent intrusion into this wilderness became undeniable. A silver Kia Sorento sat abandoned near a makeshift campsite, its presence a jarring metallic blot against the red earth and sagebrush. There was a small tent pitched nearby, and a curious, heartbreaking sight. A small, handmade shelter, built specifically for a pet rabbit. Everything appeared staged for a peaceful getaway. Yet the residents were nowhere to be found. The search had begun with a phone call from a concerned father in Montana, and ended here, in the shadows of the peaks, with the discovery of two women whose lives had been ended with clinical, terrifying precision. They were lying in the water of the creek, partially submerged and distanced from the warmth of their campfire. The silence of the canyon was finally broken by the arrival of the recovery teams, signaling the start of an investigation into the deaths of Kylan Schulte and Crystal Turner. The timeline of the final 48 hours required a meticulous reconstruction, beginning with the last verified sighting of the couple at Woody's Tavern on the night of August 13th. Security footage from the bar showed them relaxed and laughing, a stark contrast to the whispered fears they had shared with friends earlier that evening. They had spoken of a man they called a creeper who had set up camp uncomfortably close to their own. This individual had been behaving erratically, howling at the moon, and watching them from the periphery of their campsite. They had even joked in a dark, half-serious manner that if they were ever found dead, it would be because of him. My investigation moved from the bar to the mountain, tracing the path they took back to South Mesa. We processed the campsite with the understanding that every grain of sand might hold a clue, though a heavy rainstorm following the murders had threatened to wash away the most vital impressions. The tent became a focal point of the forensic sweep. Inside, we found evidence that suggested the attack had begun while they were vulnerable. There were no signs of a struggle that had moved across the landscape. Instead, the evidence pointed toward a sudden and overwhelming ambush. We documented multiple 9mm shell casings scattered in the dirt, their silver-colored plating marking them as a specific and somewhat uncommon brand of ammunition. Each casing was photographed in situ, mapped against the locations of the bodies to determine the trajectory of the shooter. The physical layout of the scene indicated the killer had moved with a disturbing level of comfort in the dark, navigating the uneven terrain to fire multiple rounds into the backs, sides, and chests of both women. The technical heart of this case centered on the digital and ballistic artifacts recovered from the mountain and the surrounding community. While searching the area, we were alerted to the existence of a trail camera or audio recording device positioned near a neighboring property. The data from this device provided a haunting timestamp for the violence. At approximately 11:35 in the morning, on August 14th, the device captured the unmistakable percussive cracks of gunfire echoing through the canyon. This audio narrowed the window of the crime significantly, aligning with the time the victims failed to report for their shifts in Moab. Further forensic analysis of the 9mm casings found at the scene allowed us to narrow the search for a possible weapon. The rifling marks suggested a Glock 17 or 19, a common enough firearm, but the combination with the silver ammunition gave us a profile to work with. We began a deep dive into the local workforce, specifically looking for anyone who had recently left their job or displayed signs of the erratic behavior described by the victims. This led us to a man named Adam Pinkasiewicz, a former co-worker of Crystal's at a local fast food restaurant. Digital footprints showed that Pinkasiewicz had been in the Moab area during the window of the murders, but had abruptly fled the state shortly after. We tracked his 2007 Toyota Yaris through license plate readers and security feeds, watching as he moved through Colorado and eventually into the Midwest. The digital trail went cold in Iowa, but the forensic link was tightening. When we finally located his vehicle, it contained evidence that mirrored the technical specifications of the crime scene, including information about the very type of firearm and ammunition used in the canyon. The finality of the case arrived not in a courtroom, but in a quiet room in Waterloo, Iowa, where Pinkasiewicz took his own life on September 24th, just weeks after the bodies were discovered in the creek bed. He left behind a suicide note that didn't offer a direct apology, but instead raved about his perceived grievances with bosses and social structures. The investigation didn't end with his death, however, as we needed to confirm his involvement beyond a shadow of a doubt. We located a significant other with whom Pinkasiewicz had been in contact during his flight from Utah. This individual provided the final, crushing piece of the puzzle. He informed us that Adam had confessed to the double homicide, providing specific details about the scene that had never been released to the public or the media. He spoke of how the victims had been positioned and the exact nature of the confrontation, details that only the person holding the weapon could have known. He claimed the motive was rooted in a petty workplace dispute that had festered in a mind already clouded by paranoia and hostility. Ballistic comparisons eventually confirmed that the firearm Pinkasiewicz purchased in 2019 was the most likely source of the silver-cased bullets found in the dirt of the Lasalle Mountains. With the suspect deceased and a confession corroborated by forensic evidence, the Grand County Sheriff's Office officially closed the case in late 2022. There would be no trial, no opportunity for the families to look the killer in the eye, and no further legal recourse. The mountain was silent again, the investigation archived as a solved but hollow victory, leaving only the record of a calculated act of violence that shattered the peace of the high desert.